Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide, the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Wednesday, May 24th, 2023, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zomers. Welcome into Hump Day on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along as always. There it is, the Geico Camel. One of my favorite all-time TV commercials. One of my favorite all-time hosts, television, state senator. And here on Civic Media with Up North News, Pat Kreitlow joins us on Crossover Wednesday. Spent a little time on Up North News last hour. Enjoyed that. And Pat Kreitlow, welcome into the 8 o'clock hour across Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it leads, even if it leads to the afternoons, because he's too good to hang out with me in the mornings. So, we'll do the crossover thing today. We'll do it next week. But then after that, go ahead, run away to your little PM part of the clock. I won't miss you at all. That's all right. Not a tear.
In case you did not hear the news yesterday at the 10:30 hour, yes, we are. It's been announced that we are moving to, like Jefferson's. We are moving on up to the 1 o'clock hour. So starting Monday,
but you're doing the same thing I did though. Is like, hey, would you be willing to move your slot? And then in return, you get to be on statewide? Yes. Yes, I will. So that's how I ended up at 6 a.m. It's how you're going to end up at 1 p.m. Because you know what? We're greedy little radio heads. And we will do this for a few more earballs.
Well, you know? It wasn't something that I asked for. They were just doing a lot of different rearranging.
Oh, I didn't ask for this. Please don't give me statewide exposure.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm very grateful for that. The best part about it is that Trigvy's going to be able to tell his Scott Walker Badger Boys state story across the entire state now to Wisconsin, Green Bay, the Fox Valley, everywhere, Eau Claire, La Crosse. So all these stories we haven't heard yet.
Look, that's my only request is find out where Trigvy's window is when you move to afternoons and let me come on during there too, because we need more of these stories and anything rooted in Western Wisconsin works for me.
Yeah, no, I'm looking.
Absolutely. And bipartisanship.
Right.
There you go. There you go. Yep. I'm looking for it.
Pat and I are the best of Wisconsin, Todd.
I really, truly, not gonna disagree. Yeah. Not and Trigvy, you're in the state, so we appreciate you being here in the Badger State. And Kara's dialed up a great weather forecast for you.
Man, it's true. I have stocked up on cheese from the Ellsworth Cheese Factory. And I have an issue with the federal government. Did you know that like Fort Wine cheese?
Oh, yeah.
You cannot take that on airplanes.
No way.
Yes, I kid you not. My cheese from the Katy Cheese Factory, the last time I was here, which was about, I don't know, a month ago, the TSA seized it.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
And why did they seize it? Because
they said it's a liquid-based product.
Because it has wine in it?
Yeah.
So is cheese. They didn't take my chunks of cheddar cheese.
Oh, no. I don't remember if I told that story here, but the only time I've seen my wife, you know, get hostile with TSA people is when they, early on in all of this, when they took her mascara and said it was a liquid, and she just looks at him and says, turn it upside down. Pour it out. I dare you. Because it's not going to pour out because it's not a liquid, you know?
It's
hey,
crazy.
Can I? Yeah. Can I make a promo pitch for Up North News Radio?
Of course.
As I'm sure Todd tells everybody, these shows are also podcasts, which you can get over at the civicmedia.us website. And if you missed the show yesterday, I really hope folks will go to yesterday's show. And in our second hour, we spent the whole hour talking to Ruth Conniff, author of Milked. This is that book I've been talking about how basically the dairy industry would fall apart in Wisconsin because 80% of the labor now is Mexican immigrants and mostly undocumented because nobody's reformed immigration yet to have a year-round agricultural visa. We need this so bad, but it's such a great story about the farmers who have made this transition and who now travel down to Mexico to meet with the families of their workers because their workers can't risk going back and forth across the border. And so they go down and meet the families and bring them gifts and things instead and talk about the policy. It's such a well-rounded book, and I hope folks might go back and listen to that hour and get Ruth's book and maybe ask your – ask your Republican or Democratic members of Congress to get serious about this, and in the legislature as well, to talk about getting driver's licenses, something that was eliminated for undocumented immigrants back in 2006 and needs to be restored. It's about road safety. It's about human decency for these farm workers who want to take their kids to school or have to take their kid to a doctor appointment or whatever. So thanks for letting me make that pitch because, again, I think immigration reform is one of the most bipartisan issues that we could embrace here if we would set our minds to it.
Pat, I still appreciate you bringing this up. I caught part of the show yesterday. I do want to go back myself and listen to the whole thing. You can catch that podcast on civicmedia.us. That's civicmedia.us and also on Up North News as well. It was a great show. Such an important issue. And you're absolutely right, Pat. The other point on this is that the Wisconsin Police Association, law enforcement, wants those driver's licenses as well because it's better for the law enforcement officers if they have to pull someone over to know who they're dealing with in that car. So it's a safety matter for law enforcement as well. So if Republicans want to talk about backing the badge, that would be something that could actually help law enforcement as well.
It would. So thanks for helping me do that. And for folks who just tuned in at the top of your show and missed the end of mine, folks, I'm going to ask them to do it here because you missed perhaps the best Bob Dylan impression anybody's ever done. And true. That is sarcastic. But Robert Allen Zimmerman of Hibbing, Minnesota, thank you for allowing me to share a little of your time today.
Yeah, thanks, Pat.
I know it's all a bad Bob Dylan, but a great Pat Kreitlow. Pat Kreitlow, Up North News, 6 to 8. Have a great day. Trigby Olson's next on the Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This week at the Grammys, Bob Dylan received the Lifetime Achievement Award. Since his acceptance speech time was limited, Bob has decided to come on Weekend Update and further elaborate on his feelings about receiving this prestigious award. Bob Dylan, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Bob.
That is sad time. Have a time.
Now, I'll translate for the Dylan impaired.
That's enough. That's the great Dennis Miller and the great Dana Carvey and impersonating Bob Dylan, whose birthday, is that right? Today it's Bob Dylan's birthday, Mr. Zomers?
That's correct.
All right, very good. So that's why they were talking about that on Up North News. And so I was doing Dana Carvey doing Bob Dylan, which, you know, just was terrible, but I'm easily amused. I'm like a cat. I'm amused by small things. Not a small thing is our guest this hour, as he is every Wednesday at the 8 o'clock hour, Trigby Olson, who is the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, doing great work across the country, grew up here in Wisconsin near River Falls, where he is at today, and then went on to have a great success politically for people like John McCain and Mitch McConnell, went around the world defending democracy in places like Belarus, and now continues to fight the good fight for democracy across America. I mean, we appreciate him each and every day. Mr. Olson, joining us from God's country here in the Badger State this week.
Awfully good to be here. I'll tell you, my favorite place in the world has always been, no matter where I went, the bridge over the St. Croix River in Hudson.
Isn't that cool, though? Home. I mean, I have not traveled. I'm not quite as worldly a traveler as you, although I have gone a couple of places outside the country as well as around the country. And I'm never sad to come back to Wisconsin.
No, you know, last night I'm dealing with some challenges with my mom, who's getting older, and my buddies who I went to high school with and who are still my best friends, my beer drinking buddies, and they all got together, pulled me down to Johnny's. We drank some Spotted Cow. We ate Steve's Pizza, and I ran into, I don't know, 15, 20 people that I knew. Mm-hmm. And it was so great catching up with people. It's just good people,
right?
Best people you'll ever encounter, and that Wisconsin's full of that, right? Like, mm-hmm. And this is the thing, you know, all those people know kind of what I do. None of them wanted to sit and talk about politics. They wanted to know about my kids and what they'd seen on Facebook and how my mom was doing and what they could do to help. And yeah, that's what makes this place special. And it's what makes it so sad that you get some of these politicians who are doing nothing but trying to divide, and particularly around some pretty false notions.
Yeah, certainly our thoughts are with you and your family, Trickvy, as you're dealing with personal things. But I think you're absolutely right. It's when you have those lifelong friends. It's kind of like for me, when I sit down with lifelong friends like that from high school or college, and you're right, no matter what I've done in life, politics, other stuff, it's just like you go back and you talk about the same things you've always talked about, and it's kind of this healing balm psychologically. It's like, oh, real people, you know, not lobbyists, not, you know, Washington or Madison insiders or whatever. It's just like real people talking about the Packers, the Brewers, or crap you did back in high school. So it's healing.
Yeah, I mean, that is the kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of back and banter about whether Jordan Love's going to be any good. And, you know,
as a Packer owner, right?
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers pulling a calf muscle. And the softball team beat Hudson yesterday, which is a big deal. So,
yeah. Very good.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that is people in places like this rally together. And honestly, you know, one of the things I say to sometimes people on the coast who are more left leaning, and they'll say things about, you know, Trump supporters or people who voted, how can you vote for Tony Evers and Ron Johnson? You know, and they'll say things that about sort of the same way the right talks about the left. And I always say to them, you know, like, I have tons of buddies who are Trump supporters, and they are the people you want as your neighbors, just as the people on the left in Wisconsin are the people that want as neighbors. They're bringing a casserole when somebody in your family dies and propping you up in ways that just, you know, not that that doesn't happen in Washington, D.C., but it's a little different.
Yeah.
It's really, and in fact, it's a lot different.
It's a remarkable trivia. You and I grew up in the Tommy Thompson era. And remember how Tommy used to go on the stump and around the state and you know, to Republican events and whatnot. And he'd say, you know, geez, I, Democrats are always just so, they're down. I think they eat grapefruit for breakfast and suck on lemons. They're always so depressing. They're always so mean. They're just so, I wish they could be happier. And Tommy was always happy. You know, he was always positive. And it seems like today, Trickvy, those roles have almost reversed, where people like Robin Voss and other people, the leaders of the Republican Party, Glenn Grothman, others who I know well, they're always negative. They're always talking about, you know, things that aren't happy. They're always down on Wisconsin. And I think that regardless of party, people are more successful when you run for office in Wisconsin if you talk about the things you just talked about, which is the unity of our community and how we uplift each other.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tommy made a political living on that, you know, the whole, thank God, where Packers score, Eagles score, and Harleys roar.
Right.
All right, next town.
Right.
And then bashing Milwaukee every once in a while, but that didn't end very well. But, yeah, I mean, it is. And you know, you can see, I get asked that quite a bit. In fact, I got asked it yesterday. Where did this change happen where we went from, you know, what's normal to this demonization of the other side?
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think most people are looking for a dose of optimism. I mean, I actually think you could break through it if you tried. Now, would you be getting 70% like Tommy got? No, but I think in a state like Wisconsin, you could probably get 53, 54, 55% mm-hmm. if you did that. And, you know, it's not, I think Evers tried to do that. He's certainly not Tommy in terms of his skill set politically to do it. That's not to say he's not a talented politician. He's gotten elected governor twice, statewide three times. But yeah, you could build that coalition. It wouldn't be as big, but you could definitely build that coalition. And it's really sad no one tries it.
I think Wisconsinites are hungry for it, Trigby. I really do. I think they are hungry for someone who's just positive and talks about how we could come together and be a great state. I mean, other than Tommy, the last person that I can remember that actually tried to do that to any sort of a degree statewide independently was his brother, Ed, when he ran for governor. When it was Jim Doyle and Scott McCallum, the James K. Polk of Wisconsin governors. You know, he went around the state, and Ed was a real guy. And
right.
I voted for him. I did. I wasn't going to vote for McCallum. I didn't want to vote for Doyle. I voted for Ed Thompson for governor.
You know, Ed Thompson did do that. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. I mean, I don't understand. I think part of it is it's just become such a system, mm-hmm. right? Like, and it would be really hard to be that optimistic candidate within either of the parties because you got to get through the nomination process.
Right.
I mean, the kind of person who could do that would be somebody who has resources, who's built a successful business in the state, and who just says, you know what, I'm running right up the middle.
Right.
Because, you know, there is a hunger for that. There is not a hunger for Tim Michaels. We'll never lose another election again, clearly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I always thought a guy like Jake.
And I don't know that Evers, and maybe they've made a political calculation that it's impossible to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. And I think they have tried to reach out to Republicans, maybe in the state. But it's really, really hard at the state legislative level to do that.
Well, look, even with Trump, Trigby, I had, do you know John Sharpless? Do you ever meet him?
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, so I ran his race for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District after my former boss decided to retire in 98, and we lost in the primary, and then lost in the general election, almost beat Tammy Baldwin in her first term as a U.S. congressman, lost by less than 1%. But anyway, John is a big Second Amendment guy, was a dedicated and talented history professor at UW Madison, as Republican as they come. Was also pro-choice, by the way, and supported Planned Parenthood, was a big Second Amendment guy. I had lunch with him or dinner with him this week, and I asked him, this is a historian, and I said, are you still a Republican? He said, no. And I said, yes. It's basically Trump and Trumpism. I said, there is no Republican Party. Would you agree or disagree? And he said, that's right. I mean, this is a guy who is a historian who knows American history and politics backwards and forwards, plus being an active Republican for years. And this is a guy that said the train has left the station on the Republican Party. And therefore, to get back to what you're talking about, I just think it's a bridge they can't cross to say, as a Republican, we're actually going to be bipartisan. And quite frankly, the Democratic side, sometimes it's almost as hard for them. But on the Republican side, it is thou shall not say anything ill about Donald Trump or be ostracized for life.
Yeah, I mean, that's a classic sign of an illiberal entity. You know, that is, I'm not saying the Republican Party is Putin's Russia, but as an entity, you can tell if something is illiberal, an illiberal vertical, if power is derived from proximity to the leader of said vertical. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Republican Party today, and since Donald Trump's emergence, the way that you get power is to be close to Trump or the people who are part of his orbit, not by the position you hold, not by, you know, Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell. They're electorally, and within the Constitution, they're the most powerful Republicans, but they're not the most powerful Republicans. In fact, they're probably, you know, maybe just outside the top 10 in McConnell's case, and with McCarthy, way further down. Marjorie Taylor Greene is the most important. Why? Because of proximity to Trump and that illiberalism. And that's what you see in a place like Russia or any other illiberal place. The Republican Party is truly an illiberal vertical. The Democrats less so. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get power in the state of Wisconsin on the Democrat side by being close to Tony Evers or Joe Biden.
Right.
But in the Republican Party, you do. And look at Robin Voss, right? Yeah. Like, most of his problems are his unwillingness to get that close to those people. But even he pays lip service to them. And every time he does, he prostitutes himself. Which is sad.
He had the audacity, as I say, tongue in cheek, the audacity to say that voting for Trump would be stupid, quote unquote, and that Trump is a loser. And he got blowback for that. I mean, Paul Ryan stepped out and said he won't be at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee next year if Donald Trump is at the top of the ticket as the nominee. Those are the only two prominent Republicans, only two Republicans that I know in Wisconsin who have even dared speak out against Trump.
Yeah, well, I mean, from up here, Dean Knutson kind of got close to that rail
true,
and
true.
ended up.
You know. Yeah.
getting it. It all, the one thing that the through line with all those people is, you know, they're not doing politics anymore.
Right.
And that's what happens, right? Like, you know, I write on Twitter, and if people are interested, at Trigvi Olsen, you'll find quite a bit of writings about how these things work. And there's six tactics. And one of the tactics that autocratic forces use globally is marginalization. And that's what happens to you if you question that vertical. You get marginalized. And it's a good time to talk about Ron DeSantis after the break, because he's being he's learning this lesson the hard way.
We're going to talk about putting fingers DeSantis getting into the race. Also, what's happening in Madison with politicians' microphones being cut off, and much more with Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the top. Kara Foster, let it play. What's it doing? It's Raining Men, written by the great Paul Schaefer. Did you know that from David Letterman? Paul Schaefer, band leader of the world's most dangerous band, wrote It's Raining Men, one of the greatest tunes in the American Songbook. That one going out, that would be a forecast. That would, Kara Foster, if you told me the forecast was It's Raining Men, I'm shutting the show down and I'm going out there. Because that's the only way I'm going to get a date these days. I just, you know, just, you know, if it's raining men, maybe I'd have a chance.
Just a chance, yeah. It's an amazing song. I love that song.
Isn't that great? That Trigvi came up with that one. So we appreciate that.
We need more weather-related music. Yeah, thank you.
Now, here's a question. Have you ever had the courage to, like, so Letterman started out as a weather forecaster in Indianapolis, and he got fired because he got bored with the forecast one day, and he said he went out on the air and said there's a severe thunderstorm coming, and it's going to be hailing with hail the size of canned hams. And they fired him for that. Have you ever kind of spiced up the forecast a little bit just for the fun of it?
You know, I do it in quirky ways. I guess I don't, like, stretch the truth, but sure. I do use a lot of analogies and a lot of visual explanation, just because we are on the radio, that I try to give, you know, more of that visual since I'm not on TV. So I guess I do spice things up in that way.
Oh, very good. Well, it's not but, raining, man. Not going to be raining at all, because it's a beautiful forecast. No. Kara, what have we got in the Amory, Wausau, Richland Center across Wisconsin the next couple of days, please?
I mean, goodness, it's going to be I would say a 10 out of 10 forecast. Today is a little cooler, so I do apologize. Tonight will be very chilly for the northeastern portion of the state. So folks over there in Wausau, I do apologize if you have already planted some, you know, some plants, veggies for the season. You might want to be, you know, covering those up as you get home tonight, because we're going to be dipping down to the upper 30s. So a little bit of frost might form, but beyond that, oh my goodness, it's a perfect forecast, especially for the weekend coming up here for Memorial Day. So sunny, or I should say mostly cloudy and 66 in Amory today, partly sunny 63 in Wausau, and then mostly sunny 71 in Richland Center. We'll drop down to about 46 in Amory, stay partly cloudy overnight tonight. Hit that low of 37 in Wausau overnight tonight. You might see some frost as you wake up in the morning, partly cloudy. And over in Richland Center, partly cloudy, 44. Now from there, we do bounce back pretty nicely in the upper 60s, lower 70s tomorrow, a lot of sunshine. And then the overnight temperatures do improve throughout the entirety of the state Thursday night, so we shouldn't see as much of the frost issues over Thursday evening. But then heading into Friday, back in the mid to upper 70s, so much sunshine. I mean, we're not going to be able to know what to do with it. We haven't had this much outside time, I feel like, since we were like kids or something. It's going to be so much stuff to do. We're going to have so much stuff to do. As we head into the weekend, even warmer, upper 70s, lower 80s throughout the entirety of the state on Saturday, Sunday, and even going into Memorial Day Monday, we'll be in the mid 80s actually by then. And then as we head into Tuesday, we'll continue to climb up the ladder from there. It's going to continue to get warmer. So that being said, check your AC units, see if it needs a, you know, filter, get some sunscreen, get some water, make sure you have enough water for the weekend. because it's going to be a warm one for sure. And us Midwesterners, especially during this first time of the year where it starts to get really warm, we haven't acclimated yet.
Right,
so
exactly.
We're going to be a little out of our league for this weekend, but it's going to be well-deserved. We're going to have so much fun. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
Kara, you know who's going to love you? Are all those people up on the Dells. The water parks will be packed this weekend. Beautiful weekend to be in the water park,
I know
park,
what it's
right?
like to. Oh, yes. I love going to the Dells. I haven't been in so long.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing is just the wave pool. And I can't imagine, you know, coming out and it's going to be so warm. Sitting on my warm towel would be so nice.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kara. We appreciate you as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thanks. You as well.
All right. Thank you. That is Kara Foster from Weather Allergy, our meteorologist. Always happy to have her at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour each and every day. Always happy to have Mr. Trigvi Olsen on Wednesdays from the Lincoln Project, senior advisor. Trigvi, before the break, talk a little bit about these trends you see in the Republican Party, a little bit of autocracy, more so here than some places than others. One of the guys who really is leading this autocracy charge is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who has led a charge against gay people, trans people, all the LGBTQ folks, and also just women's rights, when it comes to abortion, took on Disney and decided. And again, if you peel away all the kind of the drama of this taking on Disney, to me, the biggest takeaway from that whole thing is that you have a person in a political government position, a governor of a state, decides to use his position of power to try to penalize a private company because of their speech, because they simply disagreed and have the nerve to speak out. And that's where the seriousness of it comes, the autocracy. Agree or disagree?
Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree. In fact, the Disney thing is a little bit of a touch point, I think. And DeSantis demonstrates to me, I got asked actually last night while I was with my buddies having a few beers about DeSantis because he's in the news. And I was saying to them, here's the thing. DeSantis is not Donald Trump, obviously. And in some ways, he might be worse because he is a demonstration of the disease, not a symptom of, like Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to listeners or viewers, I guess, since we're on the internet too, to ask themselves, what truly makes America great? What are the things that make America great, right? Like, there's lots of things that make America great. And I would argue they should think to themselves, when they had kids, or they were kids, or they have grandkids, is Disney or Disney movies something that they want to share with their family members? And Guardians of the Galaxy 3, in fact, we were just talking about that.
There you go.
That is true of people all around the world, and that is because an American guy named Walt Disney, who was a flawed person in many ways, but was had a vision and turned that vision, was living in the one place where he could turn that into a vision that could be shared not just by Americans, but by people all around the world, seeing what really makes America great. And, oh, by the way, what made Disney great is the diversity of Disney. He was the first person in Hollywood to hire animators who were Asian Americans, who were Black Americans. Like, he didn't care as long as you could draw.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a guy, Ron DeSantis, who's the governor of that state, who is attacking that company, saying they're woke and what's wrong with America, when in reality, Disney is an example of what's made America great.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity for someone to come and build something that is far bigger than themselves. And, you know, that it's crazy. It's just crazy, but it's not just a symptom. It is an example of what's wrong. And the irony is, Ron DeSantis, who's trying to out Trump, is gonna get clobbered. Already is.
Right.
Glenn Youngkin is thinking about, the governor of Virginia is thinking about getting in the race. Why? Because DeSantis has been so damaged by Trump.
Well, and you look at what the NAACP put out, basically a travel advisory, saying if you're a Black person or a minority, don't go to Florida right now because it's conditions right now are not so great. And then to up that,
Rick Scott, and I verified this on his campaign website. Rick Scott puts out the U.S. former governor, now U.S. senator from Florida, puts out a travel advisory for socialists visiting Florida. Today, Senator Rick Scott issued a formal travel advisory for all socialists visiting the state of Florida. It goes on and on. I mean, this is just getting into kooky.
But you know about Rick Scott. Honestly, listeners should know this because they might not. If you Google Rick Scott and the pleading the fifth, you'll find some great information. That guy defrauded people from Medicare and took the fifth under oath 75 times.
75 and times.
You want to know what's wrong with America? The kid who sells a dime bag in Florida three times is doing life, and Rick Scott is worth $600 million and is in the United States Senate.
Ridiculous.
Disney's what's right with America. And this is how backwards it's become, all because of a desire to sell grievance, which isn't true.
Well, and also making news yesterday, Trigvy in Florida, Amanda Gorman, the great national poet, the young woman who is just absolutely gifted, wrote a poem for Joe Biden's inauguration. And it turns out the Miami-Dade School District now has banned that poem in up through fifth grade classrooms and libraries because of one complaint. One person, probably a mega person or whatever, basically said that they didn't agree. In fact, I have the complaint right here in front of me. First of all, this person said that Oprah Winfrey had written it. Just because it happened to be a black woman, confused her with Amanda Gorman with Oprah Winfrey, which I think says an awful lot. And the complaint says, quote, "It is not educational and have indirectly hate messages" on pages 12 and 13. It asks in the Miami-Dade School District, "Are you aware of professional reviews on this material?" The person says, quote, "I don't need it." Says it's not for school. It causes confusion and indoctrination. And because of that one complaint, they're going to ban perhaps one of our most talented young people in America right now. I mean, what in the hell is going on?
Well, you know why they're really banning her.
She's black.
Exactly. Yeah. And we might as well. Here's the one thing that we do well, Todd. We tell the truth, even if it's uncomfortable. And I am excited that we'll get to tell statewide about Scott Walker and Badger Boys State, because the great thing is, beyond the good people who in 1985 were at Badger Boys State and the places where we are, there'll be people all across the state who are at Badger Boys State and be like, I remember that. but here's the thing, like this whole book banning thing that came up with my buddies last night too, because one of us was on the school board. There's people up here in River Falls who are trying to do that. They're trying to do that all over. And honestly, like here, they just said, you know what? Like we had, a conversation about it. We had debate, and we all agreed that we don't want to ban these books. And then what did they do? The three people who are pushing banning books all said, "Well, you're trying to stifle debate, right?" Mm. They actually they're more than willing to sound like this is the thing. They're more than willing to sound like the people on the other side too when they they don't get what they want. So it's just, they have a ton of money behind them, the book banning people, and they are trying to create examples that they can wrap as this is woke, this is a threat, and they're trying to take advantage of people who aren't fully paying attention. They'll pull one sentence or one word out of these things and they'll try and make it into something like a war on Christmas. The war on Christmas was about one shopping mall outside of St. Louis that didn't have a Christmas tree, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Right?
How appalling.
I mean, you know what? They chose not to have a Christmas tree. Okay, whatever. I mean, honestly, when Donald Trump got elected, my mom said to me, "Oh, I'm so happy I can say Merry Christmas to people again." I said, "What are you talking about? I got a Christmas card from you every year saying Merry Christmas."
All right.
never heard you not say it. And so that's what they're trying to do with this stuff. It's find one book.
minute left in this segment, Trigvy.
Mockingbird, for God's sake.
Right? I mean, some of the greatest American literature ever. They want to... Again, it's about stifling debate. It's about not having open debate. It's completely contrary to what's written in bronze on Bascom Hill at UW-Madison, one of the great public land grant universities in America. The continuing winnowing and sifting. By that, the truth alone can be found. We have to have debate, for goodness sake. We have to be able to talk and share ideas and push back on each other. That's what we'll do when we come back. Going to talk more about cutting off microphones, Republicans at the state capitol in Madison. Stay with us, Trigvy Olson for the Lincoln Project. More with him next on the Todd Oswald Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Western Wisconsin boys sharing a beer, or at least coffee, this morning with you on the Todd Oswald Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8:50. Welcome in Trigvy Olson, a fellow Western Wisconsin dude from River Falls this morning. I'm from the Southwest and Richland Center, and chatting about politics and Brewers as well. You can't be a Wisconsin dude without enjoying the Brewers. The Brewers got a great win yesterday over the Houston Astros. Stayed up and watched most of that game last night. A really, really great job by the Brewers last night. Some great defensive work. It was a really fun game to watch. They will play this afternoon at, I believe, 1:10 on both WRCE AM 1450 and 107.7 FM, and over in Oshkosh Air Support on the Big 1100 AM across the Fox Valley. So be listening to the Brewers. We're going to give away next hour 4 tickets for Saturday's game. It's a 3:10 first pitch, so stay tuned. In the next hour, we'll be giving away 4 tickets for Saturday's game. Again, these are club-level seats, beautiful seats. Have kind of your own concession stand area and bathrooms and everything. So a great opportunity for you to experience the Brewers like never before coming up next hour. Right now, Trigvy Olson. Everybody, when's the last time you were at a Brewers game, Trigvy?
Oh, a long time for a Brewers game. Because, you know, I'm from the part of the state where
Twins
fans. Yeah. I hate to admit that.
Yeah. Were you kind of a Twins fan growing up?
I like the Brewers, but I was a Twins fan growing up. I was never a big baseball guy, but perhaps my favorite moment with my father was when he called me up and I was a freshman in college and he says, "Hey, what are you doing on Saturday? You want to go have a hot dog and a beer?" And all I can think is, no, I want to go, you know, chase girls and drink beer with my buddies. And He's like, "I really think we'll go downtown Minneapolis and have one." And I'm thinking, what is he talking about? Turns out he had game 6 tickets to the World Series.
Wow.
And we had so much fun. Yeah. That's awesome. I talked about it at the eulogy. It was just classic, my dad. But you know what I was thinking about when I heard Roll Out the Barrel? You'll like this. Do you remember Warren Thompson?
Yes.
I think he's from Richland Center, wasn't he? He was a member of Congress.
Vernon Thompson, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Vernon Thompson.
Yeah.
It was Warren Knowles. Vernon Thompson.
Yep.
So I remember being a little kid, and he would come up, and my parents were active in politics. And he was up for something, and I remember him saying, somebody commented on how well he poked.
Really?
And he said, "Well, you can't run for office in the state of Wisconsin if you don't know how to poke."
That is true.
I don't know why that stuck with me. I hadn't thought of that forever, but when I heard Roll Out the Barrel, I was thinking, right?
Hey, one thing us Richland Center folks could do is polka. You got Hillsborough just over the line in Vernon County. You got Chesky Den with all those great Bohemian polkas and everything. You got to be able to do a polka. It's fantastic.
It is. If you want to run for governor of Wisconsin, you better know how to polka.
Abso-freaking-lutely, you better. It's a great Wisconsin tradition.
You can't go to any of the city festivals and not end up getting dragged into polka.
Right. That, and you better like cheese.
One, two, three, hop. 1, 2, 3, hop. Yes, and beer.
Right. One of the great traditions in Wisconsin as well has been open government, Trigvy. And for so very long, pardon me, progressive politics, meaning, you know, just open and clean government. Wisconsin was a leader, none other than former Republican governor Robert Fightin' Bob La Follette, who later became a progressive. But that was the identity for so long. And now the narrative, as you talked about so many times, this narrative is let's just shut down debate. And yesterday at the State Capitol Joint Finance Committee, State Senator Howard Markline, who represents Southwest Wisconsin, the 17th Senate District, is the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. They were bringing up this issue. Governor Tony Evers had put in the budget money for 12 weeks of paid family and medical leave, particularly for women who are pregnant. And the Republicans stripped that out of the budget. And remember that Tim Michaels, who was a Republican nominee for governor just last year, he said that he would sign a bill that would give 12 weeks of family pay and medical leave. Well, they stripped that out, and so State Representative Evan Goyke of the Milwaukee area, who sits on the Joint Finance Committee, had the audacity to say, let's just put some money in to study this. And Howard Markline decided to shut off his microphone. Here's a little bit of the clip from that exchange.
It's not some radical policy. It's not a public benefit welfare. It's earned. Workers pay in. And they get that back when they need it. It's not an entitlement program. It's earned by working. It's not an encouragement to not work. You don't get it if you don't work. You don't get paid time off if you're unemployed. Time off from what?
Representative.
I'm responding to my colleague. And Mr. Chair, you have cut me up. You can turn off my microphone all you want. You can silence the debate and have procedural motions. You guys have buried your head in the sand on this issue. You lost in November. You got trounced in April. The more you silence us, the more you turn off my microphone, the more elections you're going to lose. Because the people of the state of Wisconsin want action on this issue.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, that's really good stuff. And honestly, like, I mean, the point is such a good one. I mean, that's the kind of, those are the kinds of issues that back, you know, we talk about it all the time, but like, as if it's the good old days. But like, that's the kind of thing that the Jim Doyles would find Republicans to work with, or the Tommy Thompsons would find Democrats to work with, because it solves real problems. Because those guys woke up every day and didn't say to themselves like Scott Walker did, what can I do that will get me on Fox News?
Right.
They got up every day and they said, what's the problem in the state of Wisconsin that needs to be fixed to make people's lives better?
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is he doesn't do it in his flamboyant of way. But I think that Tony Evers does that too. Mm-hmm. But these guys, they're not waking up and asking themselves that. They're waking up thinking, what can I demagogue, or what can I do that serves the interests of a small sliver of elites? Mm-hmm. The truth, Stuart Stevens, my colleague at the Lincoln Project, says this all the time, or maybe it's Rick, but one of them says, you know, if you want to know the elites who have disdain for the masses, it's the so-called conservative elites mm-hmm. who are the ones who do. And you know what? I really think that's true. I mean, I bet, you know, think about those people in the state legislature that we used to deal with as a transition. That's what it became.
It is. And again, the audacity of Howard Markline to not even allow a sitting state representative on his committee to just, he wasn't swearing. He was literally talking about policy and money, which is what you're supposed to do in GFC. You've got 30 seconds left.
Well, and isn't Howard Markline a big business guy in that part of the state?
Oh,
right?
He's like, a CPA. Yeah, he's a CPA.
Right. He's part of that network.
Right. It's pretty sad. What's not sad is you, Trigvy. We appreciate you as always. Thanks for making time for us, my friend. Best up there, River Falls. We'll see you next week.
We will see you next week. Have a great holiday over the weekend.
You as well. Thank you very much, Trigvy. Trigvy Olson, Lincoln Project, back with more in hour number two, including Brewers tickets free for you. A giveaway next hour of the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.